We are in the middle of a sermon series. It's called Next Steps, part of our vision for 2019. We are really looking at three components, and you may ask yourself, why are we looking at these three components? Well, the driving question that we must ask and answer each and every day, it doesn't matter what the generation is, it doesn't matter what is happening around us, is what is a healthy disciple? What is a healthy follower of Jesus Christ? Because if we don't rely on God's word to define that for us, we will allow culture and preference to define that for us. And that we want to grow and we want to be healthy followers of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at those, what are the components that Jesus exhibited to his disciples, to his original followers, on what it means to be a healthy follower of Christ? And really, there's three components that continue to happen in the life of Jesus as he related to his followers, and that is worship. He showed a place of worship. He showed growth, the importance of growing, and the importance of serving. And so that's what we've been doing. We are in the middle of that. We're on the second part of that growth aspect. And what we realize in Scripture, according to Galatians 6, is that we have a personal responsibility in our walk with the Lord. There are things that God has given us as responsibilities to relate to him that nobody can do that for us. But at the same time, according to Galatians 6, is that we have a burden, a collective burden together. And so there are personal responsibilities that we must absorb. And then there is a collective body of Christ responsibilities that we take on together. And so when we think about worship, we see that there. We see that the personal responsibility to worship the Lord, to ascribe worth to him, to value him above all else, to know that the decisions that we make, the thoughts that we have, the words that come out of our mouth are in a sense worship to something. And the driving force for a healthy follower of Christ is to worship him. And so the personal responsibility that we have each day, day in and day out, is, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, by your divine power, create in me a heart that desires you. Lord, cleanse me, restore the areas of my life that are broken. But there's also a collective burden that we must carry together, and that's the importance of generational worship. To connect together so that we are passing down the fundamental truths about who Jesus Christ is. To know that by default, there's division. We see things differently based on generations. We have different preferences. And yet, generational worship, the importance of passing down a heritage of the gospel, transcends, supersedes all of those things. And it's why we come together to worship the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then we looked at growth last week. We started looking at the aspect of growth. And this is the question that we asked and answered. How do I grow as a follower of Jesus? And what we saw last week is really a personal responsibility that we are to connect daily with God. To connect daily with God. Why? Because it's about the relationship. The more that we know Jesus, the more we know our Lord, the more we know the person and work of the Holy Spirit, the more that we will grow. And so it's about a relationship. And we looked at the life of Jesus and how he connected with his Father on a daily basis. In Mark 1:35, the scripture says, "And rising very early, Jesus, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." We learned that in the life of Jesus, that no matter how busy things were, no matter how important the tasks of life were, we see in the life of Jesus how he prioritized his time with the Father. It was intentional. It was in private. He removed himself from all the distractions because everybody needed something. But he understood that in order to accomplish the very task that God had put on his life, he needed to depend on his Father. And so you and I, it's important that we look at the life of Jesus, and as Jesus lives his life in us, that we would prioritize our time through prayer and through God's word. Why? Because we need that to grow in our relationship with him. But there's a second component to growth, and that's where we're going to look at today, And that is this, that we must connect often in community. As believers in Jesus Christ, as the body of Christ, His church, we must connect often in community. That is the burden that we share in growing in our relationship with the Lord. This language of community or family is all throughout the New Testament, and it's referring to God's church. And one of the most beautiful pictures of God's church is found in Acts chapter 2, where we're going to really spend our time this morning. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, let's start there. The scripture says, "So those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So what we have in Acts chapter 2 is we see the birth of the church. When Jesus ascended into heaven, there were 120 disciples that He left behind. But in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit of God comes down in that place in Jerusalem. The Apostle Peter is preaching the first message from the pulpit, if you will. And when the Spirit of God comes down, that day on a Pentecost, there was a movement of God in that place. And 3,000 people, the scripture says that 3,000 new people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that day. And so the question is, you go from 120 to 3,000, what do you do next? Do you go build a big building? Do you start a bus ministry? What do? Do you create a budget? Do you get the band together and say, okay, we gotta make this thing happen next week? What did the early church do? Well, verse 42, it tells us, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Man, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? They came to Christ and they started getting together. They understood the importance of community. Out of the overflow of their relationship with God, they desired to join together in community. And here's what we need to understand. I think we don't understand the effectiveness, the power that living in a Western civilization has on us. Think about this for a moment. Everywhere you turn, the pursuit of life is independency, right? To do it on your own, to make it happen. That's what's being preached at us each and every day. You flip on news media, you watch a YouTube video, you go to school, you do athletics together, whatever it is, education, all those different things, it's based on your personal independence, on making it happen on your own. That is the culture that we live in today. That you're going to do it. The air that we breathe breeds that type of response. But when we open God's Word, guess what? Here's what we find. We find that all of us, specifically believers in Christ, are designed for what? We're designed for community. We're designed to connect. The Bible describes us as a family, as a connected body, as a people who are interconnected and dependent on one another. And the beauty of it is it's not our doing. God in His ultimate wisdom, God in His authority and His power, God in His grace and mercy to us, designed it to be that way. We see in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave what? He gave the right to become children of God. We, as followers of Christ, have been adopted into His family. Not because of our devotion to Him, but because of His devotion to us. We've been adopted into His family." So community is not what we do as a church. Community is who we are as a church. And praise God, there is hope in the gospel. Praise God that regardless of what walk of life you come from, regardless of your past, present, or what your future may be, the very fact that all people, all nation, all colors, all backgrounds, for all times, through the power of the gospel and response to the gospel, can be adopted into God's family. Think about the love that God has lavished out on us. That's what draws us to a place of connection. That's what draws us to a place of community. Think about the pinnacle of our salvation. Yeah, man, forgiveness. Praise God for forgiveness, but that's not the highest point. The highest point is what? The very fact that we are loved by God. That is the highest point. The fact that we are loved by God, to know and experience the unconditional, boundless love of the Lord. He gave the right. That word right means privilege. Right? This is not entitlement. It's a privilege to be known by God, to know God, and to know God's people, and to be a part of God's people. And so that leads to a second question for us today. Why is connecting in community with other believers so important? Why? Now, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you today, because we have a routine in life. If you don't believe that, think about all the things that you do. And so for some of us, the routine is we want to check in, check out, right? We don't really want to get involved. Listen, there is important aspects of coming together in a community. Why? Why is it so important to connect? Well, first, we need other believers to grow in our relationship with God. We need each other to grow in our relationship with God. Look at verses 42 and 43 again. And they, speaking of followers of Christ, devoted themselves. Now let's stop right there for a second. The word devoted is such a powerful word. It means that they were eager. They were focused. They were ready. And it's in the present tense, meaning that it's an ongoing posture of readiness, of eagerness, of focus. But they were in this place of constant pursuit of something. They were devoted to something. Well, what was that pursuit about? Well, he tells us. The pursuit was to this, to the apostles' teaching. Look in our day as pastors, if you will. To the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. The early church had a hunger for God's word. They couldn't wait to hear it. It was the very gospel that not only saved them from their sins and made them right with the Lord, but it was the same message of the gospel that drew them closer to God, closer to one another. It brought about life change. The gospel brings about life transformation. Nothing is more important to healthy spiritual growth than Christ-centered truth. That is so important for us. God's word matters. It says they also pursued fellowship with one another. Now, when you hear the word fellowship, many will think casserole, right? You're already thinking about food, and you know, there's a lot of mystery food when you have fellowship at a church, right? You're not too sure who brought what and what's in there, right? Well, that's not what it means, right? Fellowship can involve food. Praise God, Baptists got that down. But it's far more than that. Fellowship involves prioritizing time together. It means to share life together. Some of you, I know the struggle. Man, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to share life together and fellowship with fellow believers. Listen, you don't have time not to. It doesn't happen by just coming and gathering for worship 1 hour a week. It involves that, but it's so much more. We're going to find in the life of Charleston Baptist Church that we really want to move towards life groups where we're sharing life together, that we gather together in groups of roughly 8 to 20 people, where we spend time in God's Word, that we spend time praying together and encouraging one another. We spend time in fellowship, sharing life together, and we spend time serving alongside one another. Why is that important? There are things about God that you will never learn apart from your relationship with other believers. That's why it's important. Man, think about the context of marriage for a minute, and you probably know where I'm going with this one. There are some stuff you couldn't learn without being married. There are some things that need to be changed in your life. There are definitely some things that needed to be changed and continue need to be changed in my life. The issue was I had nobody who loved me enough to tell me what those were until I got married. Right? She didn't have a problem telling me what my issues were. I couldn't see them. I needed someone who was walking close enough with Jesus and close enough with me to point those things out to me. You see, we don't always have the right perspective, do we? There were truths about the gospel that I wasn't seeing, and I needed to see those things. And God used what? God used my beautiful wife, who is a follower of Jesus Christ, to point those things out to me. But I don't just depend on her. As I grow in community with other believers, I count on them to speak truth into my life. There is stuff in our lives that we cannot see. And there is things in our life that need to be sharpened, if you will. There is stuff in your walk that you cannot see, and nobody else is going to see it if all you do is pop in on Sunday morning and pop out. Why? Because they get the best hour for you, right? You look good, you smell good, you got the smile on, even though you had a knockout, drag-out fight in the van on the way in, right? I've been there. That's why we drive separate. That might help you today, too. When you get in community and you choose to do life with other believers, stuff is going to come up, right? Stuff is going to come up. But guess what? It's okay. Where would you want your sin to come up most? In a body of believers or the world that wants nothing to do with Jesus, right? That's why Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. And so when you think about that sharpening, it's the clinging together of things. Things don't get sharpened when it's out here, right? But when you get together and that stuff just starts clinging and conflict arises and you begin to say things and there's different thoughts that aren't biblical, that's where we grow together in our relationship with Christ. The Bible word for fellowship, think about it. Living out our relationship with God together with other believers. So who comes to your mind when you think of fellowship? Not just other Christians that you know about, you know their name, they look familiar, but Christians that you are intentionally and purposely living out your relationship with God together with them. It is so important. Within community, here's what we find. We find that we're challenged to more faithfully follow Jesus. How do we know this? Because relationships can be difficult, right? We will get hurt. We will face conflict. We will be challenged. We will be let down. And guess what? We're not only the receiving end of that, but we give that to people. Within community, we are challenged to see Christ in others. That's the beauty of growing in community. We see where God is working. We are challenged as others speak Christ into our life. It's important that we earn relational equity in someone else's life. That means that you invest in them. That there is a trust and a respect that develops. Why? So that you have the privilege to share, to point out, if you will, not to hammer them, not to judge them, not to tear them down, but to encourage them to rely, to depend on the Lord, to ascribe worship to Him. And think about what happens when this becomes a reality here specifically at Charleston Baptist Church. Man, we stand in awe of Him. Why? Because we look at a bunch of messed up people growing in their relationship with the Lord, growing in their relationship with one another, and they begin to do things that only God could do. And so awe-ness comes over the place. Why? Because we know it's not us doing it. It's God's life in us, God's work in us that is doing it. The Scripture says in Hebrews 10:24 through 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so think about this, that as we connect together in community, not just 1 hour Sunday morning in a big group like this, but more importantly, as we break into groups of, again, roughly 8 to 20, it's where we can encourage one another. It's where we can stir one another up. Not for the sake of the group. That's not the ending point. But what? But for the sake of our community. That we gather often. that we encourage, that we realize that as the day draws near, it's not going to get easier. For Christians, it's going to get far more difficult. And when you think about the state of the American church as a whole, we're in a heap of trouble when persecution comes. We may think that all the Christians around us in other parts of the world who don't have the technology that we have and the comforts that we have, we may think they're idolizing us, that they want what we want and what we have. But guess what? When days of persecution come in the state of the church that we're in right now, we're going to be wishing we had what they had. Because they depend on one another. They understand the value and the importance of connecting in community. Why? Because that's all they got. That's all they have. That was bad English, by the way, but that's all they have. So why is connecting in community with other believers so important? Well, we need each other to grow in our relationship with Christ. Second thing, we need other believers to walk with us through all seasons of life. We need other believers to walk with us through all seasons of life. All of us walk through moments in life of great celebration and great joy, but we also walk through moments of sorrow and pain. That's the reality. God has brought us together as a church, as a family, so that we would never walk in those moments alone. Man, do you praise God for that? That we don't have to walk through this alone. Here in Acts 2, it talks about a need that came up in their community. Now, think about how they responded. It says in verse 44 and 45, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." This doesn't mean that they all agreed on everything. It doesn't mean that they liked the same music. They didn't like the same style of clothes, the same sandals, all those different things. That's not what they're talking about here. But what mattered, what really mattered, what brought them together and what holds them together, they had those things in common. And as a result, verse 45, they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. We don't know what the exact need was, but a need arose, and here's what they didn't do. They didn't say, "Good luck with that," right? "You're on your own." They didn't say, "I hope the issue works out for the best." They didn't say, "Hey, you better get one of the apostles to take care of it for you." The Bible says they began selling stuff and sharing stuff in order to meet the need that arose in the family of God. That's what the scripture says. For us, that sounds pretty radical, right? I mean, that's crazy. Why would they do that? The early church simply functioned the way God created the church to function as. To take care of one another. When a need arose in the body, it was met where? Within the body, right? It's the idea that your needs become my needs and my needs become your needs. One of the issues that we face, again, in the American church is that we are far more dependent on the government to handle our basic needs than the church being the church. Because it's easy, right? But yet we'll complain about it. The early church took care of one another. And it didn't just stop there. You look at Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 11. The early church is doing that again and again and again. Among the early churches, there's the Macedonian church. This church was well known in the area of giving. And even though they were considered to be poor, they were extremely generous. When the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, a church that had lots of issues, by the way, he uses the Macedonian church as an example to illustrate the importance of generous living, generous giving. And the reason why Paul is writing this portion of the letter to the church in Corinth is because they had agreed to take up a collection for the church in Jerusalem, where Acts chapter 2 is taking place, where persecution is happening. Keep in mind, it's there that Jesus was crucified, and many of those people had saw that. And persecution was on the rise, and not only that, but extreme drought had laid its hand on the land. And so food was very scarce, and so the church in Corinth said, "Hey, we're going to take up a love offering for you." But guess what? Things began to pop up, and then their commitment began to dwindle, and so Paul is writing to them, and he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, he says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches in Macedonia. For in severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty had overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." Meaning that times were tough for them. Things weren't easy. But yet, their abundance of joy, right? That they overflowed with generosity on their part. Verse 3, for they gave according to their means, and so we see proportional giving there. He says, as I can testify, and beyond their means, and so we see sacrificial giving here on their own accord. Meaning, we didn't have to pry it out of them. I mean, you try to teach young kids how to give. That's not on their radar, right? But guess what? If we don't teach them when they're young, guess what happens when they get old? It's not on their radar either. But for these people, because the gospel had made a mark on their life, it didn't have to be coerced. What does it say? Verse 4. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves. How did it get motivated? Where did the generosity come from? But they gave themselves where? First to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. So you see their posture here. It's as if the church went to the Lord and said, Lord, thank you for the resources you have given to us. Let our resources be used in the way that you would choose to do so. So they're going to the Lord first, and as a result of that, they're able to be a blessing to others. But we must realize that in the church, it's just not about financial needs. And praise God that the church, Charleston Baptist Church, has been a huge blessing to so many people to provide financial needs for others. But think about how we can meet each other's needs on a regular basis. On a regular basis, we can find ourselves sitting with someone as they're sitting in a hospital room, right? Praying for one another. We can invite somebody to lunch to build them up, knowing that they had or are having a very hard time. It can be a text message that says, man, I pray today would be awesome for you. I pray that you would see God's blessing in your life and that you would praise Him even through the circumstances that you're walking through. As I was studying, I thought about a man who came to our church. He came in the fall of 2017. And he was only here for a couple of months. And because of his work schedule, he came on Sunday nights during our interactive Bible study. And it was through that time that he began to connect with Charleston Baptist Church. People began to pour into him, and he was pouring into others. He ended up moving to Texas. And there he spent the next 6 months, 8 months in Texas by himself. But during that time, he was going through a really dark time, spiritual struggle, to the point that it affected his physical body, his mental state, to the point that his family that lives in India, they weren't unable to see him on a voice call. He just did an audio because they would recognize that something's not right. Well, finally, he broke down and he shared with his family what was going on. And his mom from India said, you need to go back to that church in Charleston to find your encouragement again. And by the grace of God, God had drawn up a business trip for him where he had to take care of some business on Folly Beach. And he popped in August of 2018, right after the 11 o'clock service. And he said, I needed to be with Charleston Baptist Church today. I needed to pray with you and ask you to pray for me. Here's a picture of this awesome guy. Where are we at? There he is. His name is Raj. And that curly-headed man, you might see him in this service. His name is Mike Funk. Mike Funk was in that small group with him. And that's what he said. He said, I just needed to come get encouragement. Here's a man that understood the importance of community. I've been talking with him this week, and he still has some struggles, and so I ask that you would pray on his behalf. What an awesome testimony of the power of the local body of Christ. You see, God has brought us together as a family that we would live with a readiness, with an excitement, with a willingness to do whatever we need to do in order to meet the needs that are within the body of Christ. And so the question is, are you walking with other believers in the ups and downs of life? Let's pray for him. Thank you, Pastor Tony. Let's pray for Raj. Raj, our Lord, I just ask you for that you would just be with Raj today, Lord. Lord, thank you for the grace that you have shown him and the relationship that he has with you because of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that we have seen a glimpse of the beauty of the local church. To know that the connections that are developed here because of you go way beyond Charleston, South Carolina. Lord, I thank you that Raj's mom spoke truth into his life and said, you need to go back to get your encouragement again. You need to go back to have brothers and sisters in Christ praying for you. And so, Lord, you know what's on his heart. You know the heaviness that he's walking through right now. And so, Lord, I pray that he would know today that Charleston Baptist Church is praying for him. Lord, thank you for pouring your life into us. And Lord, I pray that we would understand the privilege of pouring your life in us through other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tony. So think about your walk with other believers. Are you there in their ups and downs? As you evaluate your connection with this community of believers, are you helping to meet the needs that are here? Are you caring for those in this family? Listen, I assure you, when life happens for the bad specifically, you don't want to be walking through it by yourself. The reality is, I bet there are people here this morning that are walking through tremendous hurt and burden all by themselves. Nobody knows. Part of that is we have lost the sense of community. We need each other to rejoice when we rejoice and weep when we weep. It's in the context of connecting in community where we can both bless others and receive the blessing from others. For the early church, the body of Christ meant something. They were dependent on each other, and not just on Sundays, they connected often. The church is a family. It is God's family. The church takes care of each other, protects each other, shepherds each other, looks out for each other. And when a need arises, a healthy body of Christ can't wait to meet that need. It's a partnership that despite of all of its differences and preferences, we are united around the one thing that matters, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so why is connecting in community with other believers so important? We need other believers to walk with us through all seasons of life. And lastly, we need other believers to accomplish God's mission. To accomplish God's mission. What happens when a church is intentionally connecting together in gospel community? What happens when we grow together, when we walk with one another through the ups and downs of life? The same thing that happens in the early church. We see in verses 46 and 47, it says, and day by day, so this was continuous practice, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. In all four gospels, where the Great Commission is either specifically stated or emphasized. If you go to Matthew 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20, and Acts chapter 1. Every time that it's given, it's always given to a group. It's always given to a community of believers. The early church was connecting in community. And in that connection, they were able to accomplish God's mission in their lives. You see, growing in community has the mission of God on the forefront of our hearts and minds. Growing in community isn't about us just getting together, right? That's what heaven's for, right? It's about God working in us and through us, growing His kingdom for His glory. You see, Jesus always connected the relationships within the body of Christ to His mission. We see in John 13, look at John 13, verses 34 and 35. Scripture says, and a new commandment I give to you. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So there's the abiding aspect. Me spending time with him. Me resting in him. He goes on that you also are to love one another. That's the importance of connecting together. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. This is the accomplishing of his mission if you have love for one another. You see, the way that we relate to one another is a big deal. Some 54 times in the New Testament, we are told things that we should do for one another. We are to pray for one another. We are to bear each other's burdens, confess our faults to one another, forgive one another, be kind to one another, greet one another, welcome one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, love one another. Those things don't come natural to us, right? but through the supernatural power of God's will in us, God's Spirit in us, those things become a reality. This is important because Jesus isn't there saying, hey guys, I really need you to try really, really hard to love each other more. That's not what he's saying. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you something new. I'm giving you something that the world has never known before. A new type of love. A love that God has for you and the world has never seen it. He says in John 17, this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus, right before he's going to be arrested, tried, and crucified for our sins. He's spending time with the Lord in prayer. And what does he say? He says, Lord, essentially, Father, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also be in us, so that the world, here's the purpose, here's the reason, so that the world, what, may believe that you have sent me. He goes on to say in verse 23, that they may, speaking to the church, become perfectly one, so that the world may not believe, but know that you have sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Remember, these words that Jesus is praying, these words that Jesus is speaking in John 17 are spoken on a Thursday night. Friday is coming, right? Crucifixion Friday is coming. On Friday, Jesus demonstrated the greatest act of sacrificial, self-denying, others-focused, agape love when He, for you and for me, died on our behalf. Nailed to the cross to absorb the penalty for your sin and my sin. The scripture says so that the world will know. That word know means to experience the merciful, gracious, complete love of Jesus. So that they would believe, to trust that God had sent Jesus to be the rescuer of our sins. We will never know God's best for us apart from growing in our relationship with Him and growing in our relationship with other believers. If you're trying to live the Christian life specifically on your own, you're never fully going to understand and experience God's great desires for you. And so there's personal implications here, but there's also an implication that's far greater, and that is this, a missional implication. The world will never know God apart from our growing together in community. You see, God's plan is that our relationship with each other so reveals Jesus to the world that they are drawn to Christ because they see the difference that He makes in our lives. That's what's happening. That the people saw this community of believers, these Christ followers, and it says that day by day, numbers were being added to them. How does the world know that you're real? Think about that for a minute. You have a body, right? You could touch, you could feel it, see it, all those different things. Well, throughout the New Testament, the scripture talks about the church being the body of Christ. So how does the world know that God is real? Because they can see His body. We are the body of Christ. As we live in fellowship with one another, as we love one another, as we serve one another, as we do life together, as we worship God together, as we care for one another, the world will say, man, I don't know what they have, but I want that. Man, can you imagine if the church here in America grew just a little bit in that understanding of community, what that could do in the world that we live in today? With all the hostility, with all the division, Jesus is simply saying, church, be the church. Be who you already are in Christ. The reality is we need each other. Just as much as we talked about last week on why we don't spend enough time in the Lord is because of pride, we don't think we need it. I would say the same thing is true when it comes to the community of believers. Why don't we spend the proper time together? Because we don't think we need it. Listen, you need it. The Word of God is telling us we need it. And so as Pastor Sean and the praise team come up this morning, as you think about why we need each other, in order to grow in our relationship with Him, in order to have people walk alongside the ups and downs of life, in order to accomplish His mission, where do you stand as far as your next steps in growing in community with other believers? We would love to plug you in a small group. We have small groups that meet on Sunday mornings. We are getting better growing small groups outside of the walls of Charleston Baptist Church. That means that we need new leaders. We need to multiply leaders. And so I want to encourage you, if you're here today and the Lord has given you a heart and a gift for teaching or in hospitality, I'd love for you to use your connection card right now and say, you know what, I'm interested in getting more information about leading a small group. It can be here at 13 San Miguel, or it can be in your own home, Chick-fil-A, wherever. I don't care. Spend time with God's people. And if you're here today and you've been doing the in and out and you're realizing I need something more than that, if that's where you're at this morning, we want to help you take the next step there. And so all you have to do is fill out your connection card and say, I'm interested in being a part of a small group. We'd love to connect you with that. Maybe you've been visiting for quite a while, you've been our guest, and we love you having our guest, but we really want you to be a member of Charleston Baptist Church. Membership doesn't get you into heaven, but it does show that you believe in what God is doing here, and that you fully commit to worship here, grow here, and serve here. If that's where the Lord is leading you, I ask that you would respond in that as well with your connection card. The altar will be open for you to pray. Think about the importance of growing. Maybe you're here today and you're going through some of those downs in life. I ask that the people around you would recognize that and maybe come to the altar together and to pray, or pray where you're at. Whatever your decision is today, let us stand and sing to Him.